We've got a code. Use code VOLLYPOD for 20% off almost anything on the Art of Coaching Volleyball website, including premium memberships, coaching resources, and nearly all books. That's VOLLYPOD, VOLLEYPOD. Use it to save anytime you're on the site. Are you ready to take your volleyball game to the next level? Every week on the VOLLYPOD, we talk to two top coaches who share their secrets for success on the court. From drills to build skills to strategies for boosting confidence, you won't want to miss this valuable advice. Tune in now and elevate your game today.
Good evening and welcome to the VOLLYPOD. How are you this evening, Todd?
Doing well, Davis. I'm getting fired up. We're getting ready to go in the gym with both of our teams.
Yes, the VOLLYPOD team party.
Yeah, team party. So what's the plan? Because I wasn't there last time. What happened?
Oh, it was so fun. So we're sister teams, kind of, with the 11s.
Okay, so yeah, I do a little work with the 11s.
Yes, and I work with the 16-2s. And last time we came in, we just got to know them. They got a partner, a buddy. And then they played narrow court doubles.
Okay. And I'm a big fan of that.
Workups. And there was a few minutes in between each round to kind of get to know your partner a little bit and stuff like that. And now the 11s are so cute. Anytime they see them in the gym, they're just like, hi, that's my buddy. You know, it's adorable. So we got another series going that. And Sydney, who you work with, Sydney Bennett, who's on the pod.
Yep.
She's also works with me on the 16. So she's kind of that connecting piece, but I think I'll do it again in the future. It was really a
positive. No, it's, yeah. I mean, I know the kids tell me, oh, it was so fun. That was like the greatest practice. I'm all, yeah, because I wasn't there.
Well, it's so cute because I swear they play better too, right? Because they play.
Oh, with they a, got a all good fired partner.
Yeah, yeah, it's so fun. Fired. So it's going to be great.
Cool. We'll look forward to it. That'll be fun.
You're up on the skill today.
Okay. Well, skill, I got into this and I started, went down a rabbit hole. So the title of this is Using Freeze Framing Part 1,
okay.
Serve, Receive, and Defense.
Okay.
And next time I do the skill, I'm going to do Part 2, which will be offense.
Okay. All right.
But there's a little intro to this because I can't jump right into it because I want to put a little context to it. Beginning with kind of principles, some principles of coaching.
Okay.
And I think we can agree on a couple of things. Number one, the best coaches are great teachers.
Yes, I agree to that. Yes.
Next, the best coaches combine priority focus, that is, hey, we're going to work on what's important, right, with fine attention to detail.
Ooh.
And I was just reading a thing on Nick Saban, who was it? The Alabama basketball coach, Nate Oates, was talking about he was shadowing Saban.
Oh, man.
And he was just saying he couldn't believe his attention to detail. So I know we got in this EcoD and this big thing of problem solving and decision making, but there's still the best coaches have this attention to detail.
That's such a good point.
And combining those things is part of the art of it, I think.
I like it. Okay.
And number three, the best coaches find ways to integrate skill and decision making improvements with gameplay as fast as possible.
Ooh. That's a good way of framing it. Yeah, for
sure. Okay, so I'll say that again. The best coaches find ways to integrate skill improvement and decision-making improvement with gameplay as fast as possible. And that's where freeze framing comes into the picture. Freeze framing is a teaching paradigm that helps coaches do this.
Okay, what is freeze framing?
That's a good question because the next part is freeze frame definition.
Okay.
And freeze framing is players freeze or stop at a certain designated moment.
Okay.
Coaches can then evaluate for a single behavior or multiple behaviors. Better yet, players can self-evaluate.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay.
So we'll talk about implementing it a little bit.
Okay.
So you implement freeze framing. How does it fit into the teaching process? In general, freeze framing helps bridge single contact work with gameplay. So if you say, hey, I have single contact work, and now we're going to go put it in a game, there's this huge drop-off, right?
Right.
And you go, wait a minute. It's like we never even did this. You don't even know what we did because now we're playing in a game and there's all this contextual interference.
Right.
So freeze frame is a step in the process. You might be able to put that step in there to kind of bridge the two.
Okay.
An example, you're teaching 10-year-olds to calm mind. Okay.
Great.
It might start with some pairs. So they're calling mine, 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 passing back and forth. And
everything's going great at that point.
Yeah.
Usually.
Well, not or maybe for everybody. Not. Yeah, or I maybe mean, not. Yeah, hey, you're still reminding them and there's some people are on it and some people aren't. And then you move, let's say, to over the net with some serve receive. And then you might lose a little bit because they have to wait in line for a play or two and then they forget or whatever. And, and then it's time to go live.
Right.
And now you're either going to go, let's say, 6-on-6 or, you know, a small sided game or something like that. We talked about, you know, long court doubles. But instead of going just live regular, you do freeze framing. So in freeze framing, after the serve, the passer catches and freezes. If she calls it, if she calls mine, then you play.
Yes.
Cool. If she doesn't call mine, you roll it back to the server. Got to do it again.
Okay.
Until you call mine. When you call mine, then points on.
Yes. Okay. Cool.
And so then it goes slow, but then you play the point out. So it doesn't just, it's not a bunch of reps that don't continue play.
Right.
But in order, it's like the key to begin playing is to
attending to the skill.
Attending to the single item focus.
Yes. That's cool.
Exactly. So let's talk about it. So how do you do this? And what are those things that now we get into that attention in detail?
Right.
What are the things we can teach to make our players better, starting with serve receive? I started with serve receive because I think that's we're kids volleyball pod. And I think that's, you know, probably top priority.
Yes.
So number one, vision. I have that as first. So this idea of high fast, low fast, high slow, low slow. Mm-hmm. So can on the serve, if you have, and we're big into elastic, can you just call high or low? So it's either under the elastic or over the elastic. And so you're calling high or low.
That's good.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then once you can call high or low, then you try to add the second layer. High fast, high slow, low slow. And then they're moving, but they're verbalizing the vision.
Yes.
So then we would get into starting playing. And they would have to make those two calls and then catch the ball and serve receive. They could be wrong.
Okay.
But they still have to have the two calls.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, that's really cool.
So that would be the first one.
Okay.
Communication is something we talked about. Yeah. I'm into one syllable. I'm into mine.
Yes.
And then repeat it if there's tension. So mine.
Right.
That's awesome. And so once again, hey, they call it, we play. They don't call it, we don't play. Roll it back and do it again.
And that's motivating. I mean, it's not really a negative thing. They want to play.
It's they want to play, and we want them to play.
Yes.
We want them to be successful.
Right.
So it's like, let's play. Yes. You got it. Toss it. Let's play. Now we get to play volleyball.
I like it.
Now we're getting into a little more specific passer movement.
Okay.
Before the ball gets to the net. So if we stand behind the court, and this would probably be a coach giving feedback because we're standing behind the serve receivers, and did the player move before the ball got to the net, or was all their movement after? Secondly, you can either, you know, once again, combine this, break it up, however you do it. We're into step shuffle, kind of this balanced movement. Was the movement balanced?
Right. That's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
When they could be balanced, because there's sometimes maybe they can't get balanced because the serve is so good. And then this term of updating, we talked about
I like this.
I'm an update.
Yes.
So updating is the secondary move. So I think the ball's coming to me, I move, but it's a little bit different. Instead of just updating with my platform, I update with my feet.
Yes.
So I take a little hop or a little quick shuffle to put my feet in a better position to play the ball.
I like that. That's an important one for sure.
And then as far as movement, the third thing that's under this is shuffle through or not.
Yes.
Should we shuffle through or not? And do I stop? Do I get stopped? And let's say reach when the ball is high, or do I take one more shuffle and let the ball come a little lower? It's usually a little easier to pass a ball with your platform when it's lower than it's when it's higher.
Right.
So I would have players try to do both.
Okay.
And do a little experimentation. I'm a shuffle through guy in general, it puts you in a better position.
Right.
But there's some kids, I mean, Sid Bold could take her platform and kind of swing it over her head and get her platform on the ball and get it facing target.
Right.
And it's like, okay, she's good at that. I'm not going to be saying, oh, you got to do it my way.
You're
Its way is better than my way.
Well, and I would say, I think the pendulum on that, as far as what I'm seeing with these younger players, is get stopped. I think most coaches are telling them you should get stopped. And so a lot of times I'm saying, let's try to flow through. We need both tools.
No, both tools. And that's right. And so looking at that and saying, hey, there's times when we want to experiment to do it. So you have that in your toolbox when you need it.
Right.
And some kids will be better with it and some not better, but I think it's a tool that's important.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, non-passer, non-attacker movement posture.
Ew.
So this is, once again, this attention, this is something that's overlooked.
Yeah.
So if you're not passing, what do you look like? So I'm one of those people that if the ball is, you know, I'm in the, you know, my three-person serve receive, I'm in the middle person shuffles behind.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Because I want, if the ball goes backwards, I want somebody moving back there to chase things down. And when you look at pursuit of teams, when a ball is shanked 20 feet back behind the court and somebody's always moving that direction and gets it, you go, how does that team do that?
Yeah, that's
good. It's because they're already moving there, right? So that idea of having some responsibilities for movement for those non-passers.
I like that.
The other idea is your posture. Are you facing? Are you just turning your neck and looking at the passer? Are you facing the passer saying, hey, what if she shanks a line drive at my feet? Am I ready to play it?
Yes, I think that's such a good point.
So freeze framing, person catches it. You can look at everybody. What do they look like?
Right.
Cool. Those, of course, were the non-passers, non-attackers. What about the attackers?
Right.
So now we have the non-passer attackers. So they're preparing to attack, but they still need to face, be stopped, and be ready for shanks. Because that shank left, especially with that left side attacker, and the ball shank left, and it's right to them, and they're going, wait a minute, I'm the hitter.
Right.
And the ball lands, it's like, wait a minute. If there's no setter, you're not the hitter.
Right.
We're going to have we have some definition problems here. You're not a hitter until the ball is set to you.
Right.
And if the ball lands without being set, it's very difficult to be an attacker. And same thing with the pin attackers. And then, you know, the middle attackers.
Yes.
You know, the idea of the middle attacker getting to the attacking ramp.
Yes.
Where are they going to start their approach if they're not in that ramp just normally in serve receive? If the rotation, let's say it's row two and they're pinned on the right side of the court, something like that. Are they working to get out of there, to get on their ramp, to get a good approach?
I like the ramp word too. Yep. That's cool.
And then the final one, which of course we couldn't forget because of your background, is what does the setter look like when the passer's catching it? Is the setter penetrating the target? Is the setter balanced? Is the setter facing? Do we want their hands at chest level? What do their arms look like? If that's something that's important to you, what are those things? So you can check all of those things simply when one person catches a pass.
Yeah, I love that. Can I add one really quick one in there?
Yeah, definitely.
So the caller, the backline caller.
Ooh.
Right? I've seen that freaking get nailed with the ball way too many times for my liking, right?
That isn't on there. Yeah. So the back row person who is not in serve receive,
do you want them
getting
to get out of
the line of the ball.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. I got to add that. That's a great one because it is embarrassing when that kid gets hit
all the time. That's unfortunate.
Yep. Yep. All right. So that is serve receive. Now we're going to defense.
Cool.
So in defense, so all of a sudden now the setter catches the pass or dig instead of setting it.
Okay.
And then we take a look at the defense. So first of all, defensive vision, on, off, over. So if it's on, if it's a good pass for blockers, what are we looking at? Number one, two or three hitters, are we blocking the setter?
Yes.
Is that pass such that we have to block the setter? Number two, left front bunching versus the one?
Right.
Are they in two hitters, three hitters? What is our assignment as far as bunching or not? Same thing with the three with right front.
Right.
Okay. Are they in bunch or not? And so their positioning should reflect that when the setter catches the ball. What are you thinking about first? And we should see their movement.
Right.
Right. Because we have to put a hitter on the other side to track that hitter, right?
Right.
Because we have a hitter running either a one or a three, let's say.
Okay. Right.
Is our middle blocker tracking the opposing middle blocker? in that pattern? Well, I mean, in her route. Kind of,
yeah.
So is she running a three? Is she running a one? Is she running a slide? And are we, what's our assignment? Are we tracking that? Or are we staying in the middle of court and just in read, if that we're in just pure read and we're not moving with them?
Right.
Whatever that is. Next, is the attacker leaving your zone? And what is your language to call that?
Right. Okay. Gotcha. I like that.
Right. Yes. And practicing that.
Right.
You know, and I'm famous for, you know, they, you know, send a left side into the middle of the court for a two, and I'm screaming it.
Yeah.
And my players have no idea. And I'm going, didn't you see that? No. See what?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then I go, how much have we practiced this? And the answer is never.
Yeah.
So why should they be able to see that?
Right.
So if the attacker's leaving your zone, what are you calling? If you're, you know, a left side blocker, you call XXX or something. Right. If that right side's coming in for two, are you calling, you know, rip when you see the hitter coming inside? What are those terms you use on your team? And are you communicating amongst blockers? And then the middle blocker assignment, are you commit, read, trap? What is your against different situations? Do you understand what those terms mean?
Right.
And what are your responsibilities? So that's for blockers. Okay. Now for back row, is the setter a threat?
Yes.
Favorite dumps.
Yes.
How are we reading that? Left back, your assignment versus the quick attack versus one or two blockers.
Yes.
Because if you only have one blocker, then you're going to deepen. You're
right.
Going to dig. If you have two blockers, then you got to get that little lift tip that goes over to area four over there. Yeah. So you need to know that. Same thing with right back on the three.
Right.
Okay. If there's a blocker in front of you, you got to get tips. If there's no blocker, you can deepen and dig. Middle back. This is something that I'm really looking on, getting on one side of the middle blocker or the other for vision.
Yes.
And then which one and why?
Right.
And then your quick attack assignment on the pass, because if it's a one and that left back, let's say you're blocking two, has to come up for the tip, then there's nobody on that left side of the court. So you really have to, we want you shading left on the pass. You can't wait. It's a quick attack. You can't wait for the set.
Yeah.
Time. And then that gets to off the net for blockers. Now we're going off the net. So we went on the net for blockers and defenders. Now we're going off the net for blockers. Can the middle hedge?
Right.
You want the middle shuffling to where the ball is going. Some swing blocking teams don't want to do that. They want teams to stay in this basic read and do everything from there. I'm a hedger.
Yeah.
So I want to do that. And do the pin blockers change their posture or position if they no longer have to deal with any kind of quick attack?
Right.
And what is that? What are your rules about that? Off for the back row. Can the wings release back on the pass so there is just adjustment on the set?
Yes.
Rather than a lot of them, they're not tuned into that.
Yeah.
They're tuned in. They don't move until the set.
Yes. And I have a little bit of a different take on this that I'm going to talk about a little later in the pod. Just a slight difference.
Okay.
But I think that's good. A totally valuable point.
And should middle back be moving more into the court? Or does middle back still stay deep because you say, hey, where do you want them? So we go, well, they're going to be in the court because there's going to be more back row attacks or whatever. And I don't want them. Or do you say, wait a minute, the block's going to be closed. I want them deep to play balls that are hit hard off the block.
Yeah.
And then finally, we go to over. The blockers, are they communicating and confirming the call? So if I'm taking the overpass, mine, and then my person next to me is calling, you know, my name.
Oh man, there was so many two-player overpasses at Salt Lake City.
Connects where they ram into each other and knock each other into the net. Stuff
we
like that.
Still practice that. Yes,
right.
They're both going up and swinging, and it's like, oh man.
And then which technique to use depending on depth? Are they going to redirect? Are they going to zipper it? You're a zipper guy. You taught me the zipper.
I like the zipper. Yeah.
Or are they going to just step back and set it maybe?
Right.
Or is the back row going to call it early so front row can trance if it's over their head? So those are all the things that come in with, hey, you catch the ball in freeze frame and you can coach all that stuff up.
You can get a lot. You can get a lot.
There's a lot there. Yeah. When I started going, I just went down this rabbit hole, like I told you, way more than I thought.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, super useful stuff. And we're going to touch on some of that in the scenario here which is dealing with an aggressive front row setter.
Okay.
So basically dealing with the dump. And
right.
by aggressive front row setter, I don't mean in terms of how she sets. I mean, like, she's going to dump a lot, and maybe she has a multiple dumps.
I want my setters to be aggressive and have multiple dumps.
Me too.
I want to get in your practice, baby. Yes. I want you have to go, hey, we're playing these guys. What about this dump? She's got this. She's got this. She's got this. Yes. And so you're thinking about me all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I tell my setter, you got to score 4 real points this game.
Okay.
Like if you want to get them by dumps or blocks or aces, you got to score 4 points for our team right now. But anyways, let's talk about this. First of all, it always comes back to vision and reading, right? Look at the setter and tip off the defense. Most dumps to me are not tricky from a coaching standpoint because I've seen it. You see it.
You see the patterns.
You see the patterns.
And they haven't seen the patterns as much as you.
Yeah, enough. And they're looking at the ball.
Right.
Right. So they're not only have they not seen the patterns, they won't see the patterns right. because they're looking at the wrong thing. So can you just get your eyes on the setter as soon as you know it's not coming over, right? Next. Okay, and this is, again, these are my takes on it, but my thing would be don't block the setter unless you can grab it. And my thinking on this is for slightly older kids. I guess it would apply for younger kids too, but most of the time, the dump is used as a decoy. A lot of times it's used as a decoy. And so I don't want my defense to over-respond and give up other stuff. So we asked the question early on, or maybe we actually don't ask the question. We'll let her dump, meaning the defense will get it. The floor defense will get it. And we won't block her so that we can focus on the middle because we think the middle is going to get set more than the setter gets set, quote
unquote. Yep.
Third, and you mentioned this, shade middle back to a side, right? Make it educated, but shade them to a side. Like if the middle's approach line is going towards zone 5, shade out of there. Yep. If you're going to zone 1, shade out of there. Okay. And again, it's visual and it's playing the odds. Like I have a 50-50 chance of picking the right side and I'll be in a better position where if I'm right in the middle, I decrease my chances and I'm in the position to dig no one.
Well, and you can't see.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching a bunch of video and I'm going, wait a minute. The camera's in the middle of the court. The middle back's in the middle of the court. The middle blocker's in the middle of the court. Right. And I know this person can't see anything because the camera can't see anything. Right.
Yeah. So pull yourself out from behind the block even before they set it, right? Number 4, pack it in. Okay. If you think the setter really is going to dump a lot, do what I call a bunch base, right? Your back row base is going to be almost so they can reach out and touch hands.
So they're at the triangle. We call it a small triangle.
Small triangle. Right. Yep. And they'll say pack it in because most people cannot dump deep. There are some older setters, especially that can one hand throw it to the deep and yep. stuff like that. But those are way few and far between yep. compared
and
to
and the ball's in the air longer.
And the ball's in the air longer. You can dig it. Absolutely. Right. Front it with left front. You were talking about this. So if you're even with the setter still has vision of the court and she can throw it down in front of you. So you want to get between the setter and the middle of the court. If you're the left front, make her work against that sideline.
Yep.
I love that idea. Okay. Oh, this one's really interesting too, I think. And it happens to my team all the time. So I know it happens to other people. Stay with the setter as she moves forward. Like when she moves forward, we have a tendency to lose her and she just goes one-on-one or yep. no block basically. So keep going with her, even if it pulls you out of your zone a little bit, unless there's a hitter behind.
Yep.
Right. If there's no hitter behind, then you can go all the way out to left front. It doesn't
matter. I know there's like a force field there where they stop, right?
Yes, absolutely. And then the setters are wide open. So next, front row defense. Like, why does it have to be the back row that digs the dumps? It doesn't, right? Can you get the off blocker to shoot through there and take some?
We call that peeling and we see college teams are, I mean, I watch college matches and so many of the kids just go and grab all that stuff.
Yes.
And we don't.
Yes. We're like back row has to dig everything and no.
Yeah.
Like, can you get all the soft stuff as an off blocker and then put the back row as a little bit more like driven stuff? But next, stay on your feet. Like I see way too many either no-goes or no pushes where they just kind of crumple downwards and it's like they don't get any extension to where the ball is. And then I see other teams that just stay on their feet. They shoot right through the middle and they just keep going. It looks so smooth.
Yeah.
I need to get better at that. So stay on your feet and go to and through the middle of the court. This is the one that I slightly disagreed, especially when they're in system. What I see all the time is in system pass, the left back starts dropping, dump, right? Now, you're not saying in-system pass to release. I know that. But I'm just saying I think they get confused on what a setter could dump on and what they can't dump on, right? Yep. If the setter can dump, we're going to hold our base,
right?
Okay? If she can't dump, or if I can get it from further back, then I'm going to release.
Right.
But I think we
talked about releasing on the outer system pass, but the really talented setters can kind of come off the net and shoot it back in there with a floor dump.
Right. And that's where you got to figure out as the game goes on.
And I think that's more probably for me, it's more of a scouting thing.
Yeah.
Because that's a rare setter who does
it. And I kind of do it like.
But I like it.
Yeah, I do too. And I kind of do it like you do with the pipe, where I'll give them like one or two.
Yeah.
And to prove it, right? We're going to contest it.
Yeah.
And actually, that's one of my things, contest everything. Yeah. So even if you're not in the best position, these are relatively slow balls.
Yep.
You can still make
plays.
There's
time to pursue.
There's still time. Gobble up the donut. They're going to dump to the donut. It's like the number one, dump. So I say gobble up the donut. When they go to the donut, we go to and through the middle. You mentioned this too. Notice the pass depth. Right? Is it on and they can actually throw it down? There's not a lot of setters that can throw the ball downward that tight to the net. Like they can't throw it like 5-7 feet.
Right.
Right. So you don't really need to be in there. Just be where you need to be based on how tight it is. If it's tighter, you need to be more bunched in. If it's off more, you can be a little bit further off. And then finally, don't over respond and give up other stuff. Like a setter jump sets doesn't mean she's going to dump and you need to throw yourself out of posture to get the dump, right? Just hold. When she dumps, go get it. So we find all the time where the setter goes up and our middle will go up with the setter and then they set outside and it's one on one.
Yep, yep.
And obviously that's not happening too much at the younger ages, but I think a lot of these make a lot of sense, right? Even for the younger ages.
I like it.
So there you have it.
Nice list.
Dealing with an aggressive front row setter.
All right.
And I have a few videos.
Yeah, I have three of them.
Okay.
Starting, we have a couple old school guys. We got Terry Laskevich and Mark Barnard with eye sequencing drill on off over.
I love it.
So simple stuff we talked about as far as eye work for blocking. Then we go to John Dunning. Building your team's defense, kind of
like
cool.
This.
It's a 30-minute video, and he goes through both front row and back row, building the defense and having that coordinated.
If I could really quick on that one, I love seeing how systematic he is about it. He very much has a system.
Oh, definitely.
And it's smart the way he builds it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so
John's
smart.
A bright, he's a math guy. He's dialed into that stuff.
And
then last is Ben Josephson,
okay,
who was a men's Canadian coach who I think Skinner just hired him at Kentucky.
Oh, nice.
So okay. Skinner's going, hey, we're going to the men's game, plucking these coaches out, bring them to Kentucky. So, and the title of that one is Defending the Spread Offense.
Ooh, nice. Okay. That's what we run.
A bunch of blocking stuff. Yeah. So, so those are the three.
Okay.
What do you have for the resource?
Okay. So this resource is a little different than some of my normal resources because this is not volleyball specific by any means. And it is 3-minute video. It's
perfect.
Super short. It's
short is good.
Short is good. And honestly, one of the most powerful short videos I've seen in my lifetime, to be honest.
Sweet.
It's Brené Brown.
Yep.
And you know, she's famous for her work on empathy. This is the difference between empathy and sympathy. And it is really intelligent. It's really well thought out. Obviously she's done years and years of research. And really sort of heartfelt. And it really makes you think about how we are treating our athletes. Are we treating them with sympathy, which won't bring you much closer?
Right.
Or are we treating them with empathy?
Right. Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. What a fun episode.
Those will be in the show notes.
Those will be in the show
notes. So both the videos and the resource. And cool pod, Davis.
Absolutely. And guys, don't forget to check us out on Instagram at aoc.thevolleypod and on Twitter at thevolleypod. Thanks again, Todd. Appreciate
well done.
It.
See ya.
We'll be right back.